Good evening, everybody. This is Sally L. Cordy. I am guest hosting for Ingrid Castle today on Immunize Wisely on Republic Broadcasting Network. My guest this evening is Paul Turner. Paul Turner runs a group on Facebook called Restore Liability for the Vaccine Makers, or it's Restore Liability to the Vaccine Makers. I'm not quite sure which, but regardless, this is a very popular group, and Paul lives and breathes the issue of vaccines. So, he knows a lot, and he's really on top of things, and he thinks a lot about it. He has actually changed the conversation. The powers that be, like to call people who've done more research than the average person anti-vaxxer. It's a stigmatizing word. He has changed that to vaccine aware. And as I say, the only thing you can accuse us of is doing more research than anyone else. But the fact of the matter is, now everyone's saying vaccine aware. Anti-vaxxers, their word. We are vaccine aware, and it's our job. And this is Paul's message in a nutshell. It is up to us, the vaccine aware, to create awareness in others. And this is what he does night and day. And he makes the most educational memes, the most enlightening memes as well. So welcome, my good friend, Paul Turner. I'm thrilled to have you on RBN.
Well, thank you. That was a great introduction there, Sally.
You also have a very important legislation before all the states. Why don't we start with that, if you don't mind, talking about the legislation that you're trying to get passed at the state level?
Yes, that was my main issue when I first got really involved with trying to solve the vaccine problems we had. And I knew about the 1986 Vaccine Act that gave the manufacturers their liability-free status. And it only made sense that, look, if these people are once again made liable, they won't be so willing to stick everything that moves until it no longer moves. And actually, in that act, it's just one paragraph of law that it gives them that liability-free status. So all we have to do is put forth legislation at a federal level, but it starts at a state level, and we already have four states that have put forth resolutions to get rid of this one paragraph. Just take it out of there, all right? That once again allows us to go back into civil courts. The importance of that is once you go to a civil court, you have the discovery process where you can bring out things that right now are hidden from the public. Right now, everything goes through a federally run court that we pay for. We pay for the attorney, Department of Justice attorneys. We pay a 75-cent tax on each dose of vaccine sold. That goes into the Vaccine Compensation Trust Fund. So we're paying for the Compensation Trust Fund that's supposed to pay out for damages. We have Department of Justice attorneys that we're paying them. Their job is to defend against parents claiming injuries and to keep from paying those parents out of that compensation fund that we paid for. So, I mean, it's a total conflict of interest. And in the meantime, and that's a for-profit. A lot of people don't realize this. That compensation fund actually makes a profit every year. But so now you can see why they like to hang on to it.
I was going to say,
But
what are they pocketing the proceeds?
yeah,
Serious.
I
This
mean,
is
it's
very
not like a big
disturbing.
money maker for them. The big money maker is, in fact, they're not paying out for honest vaccine injuries.
Right.
You know,
That,
so,
yes. Oh, yes.
yeah. So,
Explain
we've had this
in
last.
1970s dollars what they paid out on just the flu shot, please, and then compare it to the last 30 plus years that they have paid, not paid out, or what they actually have paid out after 30 years and 16 vaccines. Please explain that.
Yes, I kind of remember the figures offhand. It was in 1976, we paid out, well, in today's dollars, would be $15 million. All right? I mean, $15 billion. And that is, we've only paid out about $4.3 billion in all the years since. Okay, so for one vaccine, for 1 year, the claims against it were around $15 billion. So that's, you know, the vaccine company saw this coming. It's like, you know, we're having too many injuries, and people will, you know, sue us out of existence, which is the way it's proper
and it was,
way
that's
it should
one
be.
Vaccine, 1 year, 15
Yeah,
billion.
And then
we're talking
the year before,
years now, and 16 vaccines, and only $4 billion.
Yes.
Do you see what, I mean, it's mind-boggling what they've gotten away with here, and this is, how is this going to affect COVID, do you think, my friend?
Yeah. Well, and that's such a basic thing that most of the public just does not know. The average vaccine unaware public, a lot of them are learning now about the liability-free status, but they still haven't been taught about the, you know, the actual money part and how much money people aren't being paid for damages. And okay, so then we had the swine flu fiasco later. Let's see. In 84, they paid out would be close to $9 billion worth of claims. So this is just another one vaccine for 1 year, and they would have paid out. That's when they got the act put in. They got the act put in, and they didn't have to pay it out. So everything then went to the big vaccine court.
Right,
and that allowed them to
$20. That wouldn't be $9 billion. That would be much more.
Yeah, well, it was
and
$9 billion
it's
in today's
shot.
Dollars.
Just one shot.
Yeah, one shot for just that 1 year.
This is just so obscene.
And like you said, so in the meantime, yeah, we've had so many more shots that are put on the schedule that are all causing harm and very little compensation because they're denying harm to begin with. And like I said, we're paying attorneys to fight against paying this money out. It's such a crooked deal. Nobody else would get away with that kind of liability-free status. It just isn't
right.
Done.
And the schedule tripled. The schedule of vaccines after they lifted the liability literally tripled from 23
yes.
to 72 or 74. I mean,
yeah.
It
depends on how you count them. Some people say 69 if they're not counting the ones right before birth. That's where we get over 70. But still, we're close to 70, even if you count the ones that actually go into that baby on the day of birth. Well, just in the first 3 or 4 years, they're getting over 20 shots. Just when they're tiny little babies. Babies in diapers.
33 doses between birth and their first birthday.
There you go. I mean, would an adult do that? I don't know of any adults that would do it to themselves.
Well, that
would
be
do
the
it to
equivalent. If one shot to a 6-pound baby is 30 shots to a 180-pound adult, it's about 900 doses to an adult on the same
exactly.
day.
Exactly. Yeah.
So let's see. I don't know anybody who's volunteering. Not even Offit would volunteer for that.
No, not at all. Well, anyway, these are the basics that I think we need to get out there. We need to be stepping outside of our box and reaching the average general public that doesn't even know about the triple schedule. They don't know that children are getting, you know, multiple injections at one sitting. They don't realize the payouts that aren't being made and the fact there's not even 1% of these injuries are actually even reported. because doctors are trained to look the other way. Okay, do you want me to go on?
Yeah, I'm glad that we talked about this, really. Even though it's really basic to people in the know, these are all the things that if people knew, they would be aghast. And they need to be aghast right this second.
Yeah, yeah. I have actually a single sentence that I believe all the elements in this sentence need to be included in every conversation we have about vaccines. Okay, to people who already know all about them, this is old hat and it's boring, right? But it's called marketing, and it's exactly what pharma does to us. All corporations, they sell the product mainly through repetition, getting it in your face all the time. And if more of us, anytime we started our conversation, no matter if we're talking about T cells or the failed PCR test, anything that has to do with vaccines, we need to start out with the very basics so that the average public hearing this will be getting this basics that they don't yet know. Okay, and once they hear that, because one thing about these basics, the farmer can't lie about it. Or if they do, it becomes obvious because it's in your face. It's very easy to verify. Okay, it's easy to verify the vaccine schedule. Like we were talking about how many shots children are given. You know, that's kind of hard to lie about. And then, so with those children getting, there's so many on the schedule, these young children now get multiple doses during a single well visit. And they can't lie about that. We've got schedules. Tell young parents, bring out your schedule. Look at the shot schedule. Okay, how many doses did they get that time? 3-4 months down the road, they want to give them, the same or more. Add them up. And this is what it adds up to. They're getting multiple doses of vaccines every time they go. And in most parents, that didn't happen to them that many. Then you go on, okay, so like, because of the ever-expanding CDC childhood vaccination schedule, young children are now injected with multiple doses of vaccines during a single well visit that the manufacturers do not have liabilities for harms caused from products that were not safety tested against true placebos, and the long-term synergistic effects are not accounted for. So that's actually all one sentence. It's kind of long, but it covers all the basics. You've got your great amount of shots. The great amount of shots leads to multiple doses being given in a single well visit. You've got the fact that the manufacturers aren't liable for the harms coming from these products that are not tested against true placebos. And these vaccines have never been tested for, okay, well, we're going to give you 70 doses between now and 18. They don't know what that does to a person because there's no safety test for something like that. They don't know the synergism of mixing all these things up the way they're doing it. We just know our children are getting worse off instead of better. Our children today are the sickest we've ever had. We now have a generation of children that are expected to die at an earlier age than their parents. And this is a very important point because I remember, a couple decades ago, the big thing about, saying, well, pharma is killing us. They've got all these bad drugs and stuff. People would say, well, but we're living longer than we ever have, Well, guess what? You can no longer use that as an excuse because there's a lot of children out there that are expected to die at an earlier age than their parents. Something is wrong. We have all these young children.
To die before their parents, not just at an earlier age than their parents, but to die before their parents.
Right, like an average age of severely autistics in their 30s, isn't it? I mean, come on. Yeah, so parents are losing their children before they die. I mean, just...
My sister died at 22. She was called severely mentally retarded But I see a lot of similarities between her and autistic children. So I don't know really what they would call her today because the word autism didn't exist back when. But nonetheless, she died at 22. And I was told by an autism mother that her somebody who worked with autistic children told her that they're not expected to live past 35.
There you go. Yeah. Mid-30s.
That's half our life expectancy, okay?
Yes.
That's half.
Yeah. Well, and because these young children, they now have, they have diseases that I used to think about when somebody was old, you know, like our age. Having diabetes and people complaining about their allergies and, you know, things that you would expect from somebody that's getting up there in age. Well, now we have young children with all these autoimmunity problems, which are directly tied to vaccines. We have issues of allergies. We have asthma, diabetes, and autism, and those are fast becoming normal for today's children. Parents have actually grown used to that, and it's actually become rare for a child to not have at least one of those, and a lot of times multiple problems that they're going around. Basically, I mean, our most medicated generation is definitely the least well generation. We're barking up the wrong tree with this. Period.
Well, I am finding that all of a sudden, out of the blue, people who never cared about this issue now care about this issue because of the threat of mandating the COVID-19
adult
vaccine.
Mandate. This has caused a lot of awareness, and we need to jump on that. We do have a lot of people now that before, when it was only the children, they didn't seem to mind so much, or pharma had them convinced it wasn't a problem, so they bought into that. Now, when it comes to, well, these might be going into your arm, into your body. Well, maybe we better look at what's actually in these things and see what kind of safety tests have been done. So more and more. That's. I mean, I see in my groups that I manage, we have a whole lot of people signing up that are new. They didn't, and they, you know, they don't really know that much about vaccines yet. And that's why I try and remind the people like you and I that we do have a lot of new people coming on, and they need to hear they need to get the spiel down on the basics to where they can just rattle that off. So anything they want to talk about vaccines, it helps for them to just memorize at first the vaccine schedule, the multiple injections, the liability problems, placebos, no truth placebos, and no long-term studies for effects of combining all these vaccines. And then as the general public hears, you know, newly aware people talking about it, they go, man, you know, they'll check it out. They find out that, you know, that person was right. The first thing that normally goes through a person's head in that case is, look, you know, I didn't know this. This is so basic, but I didn't. Why didn't I know this? Then you've opened the door, because then they start realizing, I've been lied to. If I've been lied to about the basics of this, what else have I been lied to about? So I found that it works, that to get really good on being able to rattle off the very basics and always start. I can go into a group that has a lot of pro-vaxxers, and, you know, they can be arguing over, I don't know, some really deep issues on vaccines. And the people that will be arguing with them, you know, they might be super smart, and they come up with, you know, some real good studies. And they'll throw the studies out there, and they'll be going back and forth on all this. And even if the you know, anti-vaxxer side comes up with study, and it's not hard to come up with studies that actually prove the other
side
wrong.
You meant vaccine-aware side, didn't you?
Yeah. Yes, the vaccine-aware side. Yes. Okay, the vaccine aware side, hardly, no matter what we present, we don't actually win in those kind of situations because the trolls and the paid influencers have a playbook, and they have enough answers to come back with that even if they're not correct, they throw enough confusion to where the average person is, number one, chances are they're not going to hang around for it because it's too involved, right? So you can be spending all this time trying to make your point, you know, on some scientific part of vaccines. The general public is not that interested. And they're going to see, well, look, that, you know, the pro-vax over here just said this, and that kind of makes sense. So maybe this guy didn't know what he's talking about. And so they have doubt. And the pro-vax will always be able to introduce doubt. So we don't win that way. Now, you can win by bringing it back to these very basics. So no matter what this conversation started with, you go in there and send in the picture of the schedule. Or look, we're talking it's tripled from the early 80s to now. Then you send in a little video or a diagram that shows how to give a child 8 doses at once. And you throw
an
in the fact there's no liability. And that's all you have to do.
Yeah, an infant.
Yeah, infant in diapers getting multiple doses. Now, you know, they can try and come back with something. But at that point, you generally still will have an audience of average, unaware people that no matter what they come back with, you're going to have their interest. Oh, wow, look at that little baby getting all these shots. I didn't know that. And you've won. I've gotten so many people that will later on, they might not come right out in the conversation, but they'll later come to me and thank me for telling them this, for showing them. Next thing I know, they're joining groups, and they're learning how to teach other people the same thing. And it's something that you don't have to be a whiz to be able to get through to people. I use this also as a way of...
I completely agree with you. The ingredients, the schedule, and the picture of that from the pediatrician's handbook of how to administer 5 or 7 doses in one visit. You know,
yeah.
2 in the arms, you know, two each in the arms and in the legs. And
right.
It's an appalling picture. You look at it and you're dumbstruck.
Yeah, but it's reality.
They couldn't, and at once, I mean, woo!
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, that some people will say, well, now they're making, instead of a 3-way shot, they have 4, 5, and even 6-way. So they don't have to give as many injections. Like, well, it's still the same amount of dose, and then that also gives you an opening for, well, they have to make it multiple, so many, you know, combo vaccines, because they're working on over 270 that are in being developed. I go, I wouldn't be surprised to see them coming out with 12-way shots when they've got that over 200 there they're working on. And, you know, and that's a reality, too. So
well,
no matter what, you're still going to be getting a bunch of injections of combo antigens and adjuvants. There's no way around it.
Well, there is one way around this. You don't have to accept a vaccine unless you're going to school in a state that doesn't have exemptions.
Yes.
That you don't. So from the time you're born to the time you enter school in a state without exemptions, you don't have to take anything, ever. And if you don't go near pediatricians who are – their entire livelihood depends on the fact that your child is vaccinated, and it's not just from the expense of the vaccines, but from the incentives from the insurance companies they give the doctors and from all the ailments that result from the vaccines. So pediatricians didn't used to exist before vaccines. It was a
I know,
family
well, when I was a child, I didn't know about We didn't go family to pediatricians. I always thought that was so weird. It's like, why do they need a baby doctor, you know? And then I found out, well, that's because they've got a schedule of vaccines they want to give children. That's basically it. I mean, you can weigh your own child. You can take your child's temperature. They're not really doing anything other than looking for ways to give you more shots and drugs. That's the only thing a pediatrician does. I mean, I seriously believe we would be a lot better off if we did not have pediatricians and people went back to take care of their own.
Right, and OBGYNs all of a sudden, you know, you never, according to Dr. Carley and also Dr. Rob, who's a veterinarian, okay, they both have said their texts for humans or for animals, you never vaccinate a pregnant animal or woman. All of a sudden, with no studies proving otherwise, they're doing it.
If
you're pregnant, shut up. Don't tell anyone. Don't go near any doctors. I mean, honestly, the minute you have a baby, here's what to do. Tell people, if they see you with a child, I'm babysitting.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
This is
how, otherwise you're going to get hammered to inject that child.
That's how bad it is. What I'm telling you right now is ridiculous. But it's not ridiculous. It's the real world we live in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have a choice if you go to a pediatrician. Do you want to have your child poisoned, or do you want the pediatrician to report you to CPS and have your child taken away? And I have endless stories about how that can result.
Yes. Yes, I do too. I've seen a lot of it. It's heartbreaking. But you're right. That's exactly what is going on.
Yeah, just keep quiet. You're pregnant, shut up.
Yep. Yep. The least you have to go to any doctor, the better off you are. People become too reliant on every little illness, thinking that the doctor has a cure, when they don't offer any cures. It's not in the Western medicine handbook to offer a cure. So, I've read recently some studies that show that actual studies. That have shown how you're better off having your baby at home versus going. You were actually safer, you know. And they sell people, well, something can go wrong. Something go wrong. Well, something does go wrong in the hospital a lot and often, and almost every time nowadays. You can expect something go wrong. That if they had left it alone, they would have been better off. You know, doctors work the women around their schedule for when they want to have a birth, and they want to do C-sections. It's just crazy, and they try and get mothers not to breastfeed. Totally against that, you know. I mean, one time
in one state, and I don't know if this is throughout. I don't know if this person was speaking just in her state, that insurance will not pay unless the child is 1 week and 1 day early. Because full gestation should be 41 weeks in a day. But they only pay for deliveries at 40 weeks, which means these women are being induced, which is dangerous, or they're having C-sections, which is dangerous.
Right.
And the maternal mortality has shot up. The mortality among mothers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Birthing mothers.
That's pretty obvious.
We'll be right back with Paul Turner. You're listening to Immunize Wisely. Ingrid Castle will be back next week.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After 1 day of taking Extendivite, It was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Hear ye, ConstitutionOnTrial.com presents the most important question for our generation. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Witness the prosecution and defense of the United States Constitution on trial, live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and streamed live on YouTube. For the prosecution, Ted Weiland, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of Bible Law versus the United States Constitution, The Christian Perspective. Versus, for the defense, Brent Allen Winters, a practicing lawyer and author of Excellence of Common Law in Light of History, Nature, and Scripture. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and live streamed on YouTube. Saturday, September 19th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. Come one, come all. This most important event is free to attend and streamed live on YouTube. Go to ConstitutionOnTrial.com.
Back on Immunize Wisely. My name is Sally L. Cordy, and I am guest hosting for Angry Castle this week, and she'll be back next week. My guest this evening is Paul Turner, and we have a caller on the line, Tom from Utah. Very knowledgeable gentleman, Paul. He's calling to ask you a question.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's fine.
Paul, you use the word antigens when you're describing part of the ingredients of these vaccines.
Right.
Please explain to the public what the word antigen actually means.
Okay, well, an antigen can be either live, partially live, or just particles of, you know, what they're claiming is an actual virus. And the theory is by taking a piece of, say, like a measles virus, by taking some of that virus or a weakened virus, they can inject that in a person, and that antigen will cause the body to see it and go, oh, well, that's it looks like something that, you know, we need to fight against. And so it generates antibodies. Okay, now this is their theory. We don't even really know for a fact. They haven't even proven this yet. But antigens, you can just basically consider them the actual particles that supposedly infect people and make them sick. The adjuvants that are added to the antigen, because you know, you don't want them to just shoot the same thing that makes a person sick. So, say, if it's the measles, you wouldn't want to take, okay, this is what made that person sick. Let's just inject that into them. Okay, so they weaken it, kill it, you know, take a part of it. The body might recognize it, but they expect the body to have a stronger response. So they add things in there which actually cause an inflammatory response and go, boom, you know, I'm being toxified here. I need to fight more. So the body fights harder, and supposedly it's fighting harder against that one particle if they, say, infect you. So with any particular disease, they will add these adjuvants to create a stronger antibody response from the body. And the problem with most of these adjuvants, they themselves are toxins. Antigens themselves, and this is about a year ago, you could look up antigens online, and every online dictionary used to say antigens are toxic substances. All right? Nowadays, you can look it up, and very seldom will you find the word even toxic in there, because I used to use that. I used to just copy, you know, get screenshots of online dictionaries and say, look, man, even if you didn't have adjuvants in a vaccine, the antigens themselves are toxins. All right, so pharma caught on and goes, well, we can't have this. And this is the grasp of pharma. They can go in and they have altered the content of the Internet, and they've gone into all these people with online dictionaries and coerce them into changing their definitions. So anyway, they now say harmful substances, and most of them, that's what they'll say. At least it's still in there. So by itself, an antigen is a harmful substance. Just by that very definition and that reality, all vaccines do cause harm. And then once you learn the real history, you come to find out that, well, that harm actually, you know, is overrides any perceived benefit of them. But yeah, the antigens, and then along with you know, these things they put in there to create a stronger response, they're just basically they're poisoning us. They are they've never been good for us, and with their theory of how it works, they will always be hurting us with the vaccines. I just, you know, at one point, I would be called an abolitionist. And because I've seen what they do with the numbers and manipulate to make people think that, you know, they've cured diseases with vaccines, and they haven't cured anything. That's not their business. Their business isn't about curing. But anyway, I hope that answered your question about what antigens are.
Well, in my day, in the 50s, the word antigen means something like you but not you. A tissue that actually is like your tissue, but it's not yours. So it's antigenesis.
Okay. Well,
you know,
that's what
bothers me is we'll take a word, and we will spin that word. Like the word vaccine, vaca means cow, scene means flesh or energy or tissue of cow, vaca scene.
Okay.
So yeah. Over time, we lose the original definition of that word, and even the word antigen. You realize that it takes millions of gallons of slaughterhouse waste and offal to produce the vaccines?
Yeah.
That's the antigen.
Yeah.
It is the raw material upon which a vaccine is based. You cannot produce any vaccine without millions and millions of gallons of slaughterhouse waste.
That is such a good point. Just like you said, the word itself, because they use that against us against us vaccine aware, by calling us anti-vax. Well, you pro-vax, you like using antigens.
Uh-huh.
How does that make you? Oh, wow.
See, that's why the vaccines trigger all of the autoimmune diseases. It depends on which catabolic pathway in your liver fails after you've been vaccinated. And then not only do you have that autoimmune disease delivered to you immediately after the vaccine, when I say immediately, it could be weeks, months, but then you're dealing with that same broken pathway, chemical pathway in your liver for the rest of your life.
Yes.
So what you need to understand is what the antigen truly is. It's something that's like you, but not you. I worked in the heart transplant industry. My responsibility was to find out how the body would respond to that transfer of tissue from one individual to another. Of course, the first thing we understood was rejection. In other words, the body's attempt to get rid of that foreign tissue. That's antigenic to your body.
Same process with vaccines because they are antigen. Correct.
Well, see, if you stop the vaccine industry, what are we going to do with all that slaughterhouse waste? You're going to be interfering with the profitability of the slaughterhouse industry. Wow, what an idea, huh?
Right.
I'm being a little sarcastic.
But yeah, but they have it figured out. That's all part of the plan. It fits in. Man, well, that's
see, when you use the word antigen, please explain actually what that literally is. It is the millions, if not billions, of gallons of offal and blood that comes from the slaughterhouse. And even, you know, they talk about the baby tissue in there. Quite frankly, the human tissue is a lot cleaner than the other tissue that they're using from the slaughterhouse. And when you're using billions or millions of gallons of slaughterhouse waste, how much control do you have over the other contaminants that's in that waste?
Yes,
we don't have filtering system or separating or teetering systems to purify anything.
Right, right. Well,
imagine
they had those Corvelva studies that showed all kinds of contaminants. And that right there told me that there's no accountability. You know,
instead of going to your pediatrician,
these things.
Instead of going to your pediatrician to get a vaccine, get it from your butcher.
Right. Yeah. Go to the source, what you're saying.
And by the way, once that catabolic pathway is created in your liver, the way to reverse or to at least mediate that problem, you have to stop bringing in those antigenic materials through your fork and your glass. Once that liver's been damaged, you know, for example, with diabetes, you've damaged a pathway that's supposed to be dealing with the beta cells and the insulin coming in from the animal. But once that pathway has been damaged, from that time on, you will continue to perpetuate your diabetic situation. So the best way to reverse diabetes is stop bringing in the antigens, slaughterhouse waste, the animal fluid or tissues.
That's our connection into the type 1 diabetes in children then.
Yes.
If I'm reading this right. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost every autoimmune disease is either triggered by a vaccine or by a failure in your liver to handle the animal tissue that you either ignorantly or willingly consume. And if it gets through the liver and is not catabolized, not broken down, you'll turn your immune system on against that particular tissue, which is like you but not you, but then by default, your immune system will attack your own tissues.
And that applies any time an antigen is injected then.
And that's right.
Man.
So when you use the word antigen, make sure you tell people this is animal flesh, animal tissue, animal blood, animal hormones, animal beta cells. And then they'll get it.
Yeah. Oh, that's another
good
point.
People,
because look how we're raising our animals. Right.
By the way, they're vaccinated. So if you're worried about a vaccine, are you worried about it, you know, vicariously or secondhand or by proxy?
Right.
You don't know what's in that vaccine, and we don't know. In the industry, we can't always control everything that goes into the production of a vaccine.
Sure. And
the primary fluid material that's used is slaughterhouse waste. Slaughterhouse waste.
Okay. Oh, wow.
That'll be very
Tom,
helpful.
I really, it's off topic, your website, but I really want people to look at it, because people who live in trailers or prefab kind of housing are exposed to a poison that is easily done away with. And if you please give your website, Tom, so that people can look into that if they live in trailers or prefab housing, please.
GassingAmerica.com is the main name. GassingAmerica.com. But if you can remember poisoningthepoor.com, that's easier to remember, I think.
Okay.
Poisoning the poor.
Yeah, I mean, we are against all poisons, including the one that you have thoroughly investigated and are showing a very easy cure for, an easy way to resolve it. So thank you very much. And thanks for your contribution tonight, Tom. Always a pleasure speaking with you. We have another caller, Mike in Kentucky. Welcome, Mike.
Well, I called in before I knew that Tom was in the queue, so I didn't mean to cut him off because he's got a lot to say on this. But I recently had a caller to my local call-in show that talked about being right in line, and I used it as an excuse to talk about Tom's Gassing America stuff, because this gal had a so-called ventless gas heater. They've sold them like that for decades, and they are not ventless. I bought one right before somebody that I know got pregnant, and I started reading the installation instructions, and I'm like, this ain't ventless. You're supposed to put a vent in underneath of it to bring fresh air into the room, and then another vent on the other side of the room to take the hot air out at the top. Now, this gal says that she had a small pinhole that was causing the propane to leak into her room, but she had a home security system. She had, I think she said, two. Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
I just heard a big click.
Proceed.
We're fine.
Okay, sorry. There was two carbon monoxide detectors in her home that she had bought commercially available. And it took a security system having a different additional carbon monoxide detector to detect that. And I told her about formaldehyde, and she didn't even know about that. But anyway, that whole thing is what got Tom Rogers, the vegan cowboy, in trouble, apparently, with the deep state. And pretty much now he's out there living on the bare minimum Social Security because they deleted all his work history. I mean, a lot of people don't know this about him. I've spent about 15 hours on the phone talking to him about this during the COVID-19 stuff, and
now,
I don't necessarily agree with everything. He was at the hearing for the FEMA trailers in Washington, D.C. after Hurricane Katrina, and they were trying to blame the building materials for all the formaldehyde off gas.
I remember about these ventless heaters. Oh, man.
Right. I love those ventless heaters. They have wonderful warm heat. A lot of people love them because they're infrared heat. They will warm your bones, but you're better off with a wood stove. Now, I still use a propane furnace, but, man, I made sure when we redid our roof that the vents are well away and, you know, it's well vented.
Yeah.
But,
I've been poisoned by carbon monoxide before from a gas hot water heater that wasn't vented right, and almost lost myself and the family and dogs. It was the dogs falling asleep, not getting up, that alerted me.
What he points out is most of the commercially available carbon monoxide detectors will not detect this chronically low poisoning that can occur. And with those FEMA trailers, those Cajun people were sitting there cooking gumbo all day, you know, with their cook stove. And so they're getting it from that, too.
Oh,
because they like to cook gumbo a long time, you know, and simmer it. Okay. Well, anyway, the reason I called in before Tom even called in was I have seen both sides of what you're talking about with women going to pediatricians and gynecologists and stuff like that. I've seen both sides of it where, you know, they guessed wrong about how big the baby is, and then they induced labor just because they wanted to play golf on July 4th weekend, you know. So I know somebody who's actually supposed to be born on the 4th of July, ironically, and they induced labor because the doctors wanted to go play golf. I mean, how sick is that?
It interfered with their
their plans, right.
Exactly. Yeah. But now the other side of this is that apparently there's a huge increase, and I don't know what it is. It could be some stuff Tom may know about, but there's a lot of women that have pregnancy-induced heart failure, and so I've seen people with very severe morning sickness that they cannot fix, and just the pills to curb their nausea will cost $30,000 or did cost $30,000-some. Now that particular pill is no longer patented, so it's not $60 a pill anymore, but
right.
I think I hear the music.
I don't know if this is if we're going to commercial. Actually, there's something here. Alan is Alan on the line, and is Tom still there? Mike,
that's okay. I mean, I can let you go. I just wanted to say that I've seen both sides of when you have a problem pregnant.
We were discussing before, they're vaccinating the pregnant woman that they didn't used to do. That could be a factor.
I know a woman that got a fluoride treatment while she was pregnant and had dental work done, and the baby came out with mottled chalky teeth and had chalky teeth their whole life because they got an overdose.
Man.
I mean, how stupid is that? Stupid is that? I mean, are these guys smart enough to make it through medical school and not know any better than that? I mean, come on.
It's crazy. I know. Exactly.
Well, I do see that there's some situations where pregnancies need to be very closely monitored, and sometimes
you still there, Mike? Am I on now?
Yes, I am. Who's this?
Hey, this is Alan. I just wanted to hop in here real quick, guys, and if you could explain one thing, the adjuvants they use. I mean, you know, I can remember when I was a child, you know, going to elementary school. You know, a lot of kids brought their lunches to school. Half to three quarters of those lunch boxes had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in it, and kids weren't dropping to the floor, you know, in anaphylactic shock. Can you explain to the audience latent onset effects and down the road effects that these adjuvants and all this crap that they put in these things, what it actually does? You don't always have an instant reaction like unfortunately my niece who is autistic, and my sister-in-law is a doctor, and she saw it, and she said it was the MMR vaccine at 12 months. I watched it happen, okay? So some of it is instant, but most of it is latent effects, which is why it's not easy to attribute a lot of these maladies and everything that all these children are going through now directly to the vaccines.
I mean,
I know the food and everything else in our environment is toxic at this point, but, you know, it's
I think
the main kicker are these vaccine schedules.
I agree. I think the injecting these things directly into the bloodstream, there is nothing worse than that. There's no filter. Like when you breathe something in, you do have hairs in your nose to filter it out. There's no way to filter what's
your mucosal membranes. I mean, your natural defenses.
That's what
your body is designed to defend against, not something directly injected into your bloodstream. That's just
it's
insanity.
Yep.
It bypasses your immune system's first line of defense. But there was peanut oil in some of the vaccines for a while.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They've gone back to that, too. They're keeping it quiet.
Well, adjuvants were discovered by accident of contamination. There's an article on Wired magazine, of all places. Now, they have a bunch of pro-vaccine articles, but look for the article on the weird science behind adjuvants. And they kind of poke Eye of Newt and all this sort of stuff. But they actually admit that alum, I think, was one of the first adjuvants that caused an inflammatory response and caused more antibodies to be detectable because of a contaminated batch of vaccines. I mean,
that
ruins the whole credibility of vaccines for me right there. But now Wired, of course, is they go back and forth on this. They have, you know, that's the only anti-vaccine article that I've seen on Wired, but it's enough. I'll let you guys go.
Is that Alan saying goodbye?
I just wanted to pop in here and have y'all explain, you know, to the audience, you know, like I said, a lot of this stuff won't happen for years possibly to a child, but that's why so many of them now they've got all these weird, you know, chronic illnesses that I know as a child, most of the kids look like me, you know, I was thin, you know, we're fairly athletic, you know, we had one fat kid in a class, you know, the short bus was called the short bus for a reason because there was only like three or four kids in the whole school that, you know, that had like Down syndrome or, you know, was in a wheelchair or something.
Exactly.
Now it's
here.
The smart buses is, you know, the short buses for the smart kids, you know, the only ones who haven't been, you know, devastated by this crap. It's really a sad thing, and I appreciate what y'all are doing. Unfortunately, most people don't find this out until, like, my brother and sister-in-law, when they get kicked in the ass real hard, and they've got a lifelong problem. They love the child, but that child never, ever will ever have the potential that it did have. And I'll be gone on that. I appreciate what y'all are doing.
Well, there are people who work to reverse vaccine-induced diseases, and if you leave your number with Ken, I will make sure that we contact you, okay? This is Sally. Just leave your number for Sally, and I'll contact you, okay?
I think
he's
gone.
Well, there is help in reversing vaccine-induced diseases. Dr. Carly is certainly that's her thing. But there are others who also work with people, you know.
For now, until they come out with the mRNA vaccine, the harms from it will be at genetic level and they won't be undoing it.
Well, you know, I had a conversation with a woman who has an autistic son, and what she told me is so disturbing, Paul. She said that the fetal cells that they're using have the MTHFR gene. They selected those because with that gene, you cannot detoxify.
Right.
Making
it harder.
Isn't that sick?
I mean,
the whole thing's sick. You just start with formaldehyde. That's sick.
Well, the MRC5 also had, like, I think 180-some cancer genes. And they knew this from the beginning. Instead of choosing something else, they went with fetal cells that they knew had cancer genes in them. You know what I mean?
Hundreds, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. The whole thing is just... the whole thing is, if you can't detox, though, this is like, there's no way back. There's no way back if you can't detox, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. Cancer is
curable.
Cancer is curable. But detox, if you have the inability to detox, then nothing's curable, right? Anyway, all right.
As long as you can get over it.
I believe we're going to a break now, and we'll be right back with Paul. He, I'm sure, has scripted quite a few things he'd like to discuss, so perhaps we'll give you a session all by yourself to talk about what you'd like to speak about. So, thank you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.